Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, wait, hold on. Radio show.
Hey, what's happening?
Brother, what's up?
This is a too big party, man.
Yeah, brother,
man.
Right
on. Hey, man, what's your name?
There's too many of you trying. Brother, 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 there's far too many of you dying. You know we've got to find a way to bring some love here today. Father, Father, we don't need to escalate. See, war is not the answer, for only love can conquer hate. You know we've got to find a way to bring some love and here today. Oh, take it back and take it back. Punish me with brutality. Talk to me so you can see.
Monday morning,
9 a.m., 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. Tell your friends to call in and tune in because we have a hot guest this morning. Brother Hawkins, man, welcome to the show. Welcome back to the show, man. You have an extraordinary testimony, some news that's very important, hot-button topic that we all need to hear.
Okay, Brother Hawkins, go ahead, Brother Hawkins. Speak up so we can see if we can hear you.
Okay, can you hear me now?
Yes, can you hear him, Clarence?
Sir, Pastor Eddie.
Can you hear Brother Hawkins? Brother Hawkins, go right ahead and go ahead and speak, brother.
Yes. Can you hear me now?
Can you hear him, Clarence? Okay.
Yes, sir. I can hear him loud and clear. I hear you, Brother Hawkins.
Okay. Go ahead. Okay. Okay. Now, here's what I'm going to do. Here's what I'm going to do. Let's see. Okay. Because we also, Brother Hawkins, we know you have a few minutes on. We also have a young lady that's going to be on our show. After Brother Hawkins, her name, hold on a second here. Let me get her information. Pull it up for you real quick. And her name is, let me get it here. Here we go. Her name is Annette Davis Jackson. She's a future candidate for the United States Senate for 2022 in Georgia. Born in Los Angeles, went to Fairfax High School, Lewis Pastor Middle School, and was a candidate for U.S. Senate in 2020, receiving 43,000 votes. She's going to be on after me. She's Clarence, she's on the 678 number. She's already in the queue. All you got to do is start talking to her. Matter of fact, let's say good morning to her. Good morning, Annette Davis Jackson. How are you this morning? Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. I am perfect, and Los Angeles is perfect, and let's go on to perfection. You know, we are superior as Black America.
Amen, amen. All right, now hold on, stand by. First, we got to do our interview with Mr. Hawkins. Mr. Hawkins, please take the floor. Let's talk about what's going on with you. Go right ahead. Take the floor, Mr. Hawkins.
Okay, our case is basically another Black modern-day Wall Street, and we were the first Black company in the United States to ever go public on the stock market. The name of the company was Petro America, and our trading symbol was PTRZ. We had substantial assets in the $258 billion plus range. We owned 14 gold mines, 180 oil and gas leases. We owned a packaging company. We're setting up an electric car company. So in other words, we were doing a lot of great things. We had a lot of shareholders that believed in the American dream. We believe that we didn't get a fair trial. We were unfairly.
Let's call it from a federal prison.
And there's a petition out there that Pastor Warren, who's leading a petition, and we would appreciate anybody and everybody that can support that petition. The petition is, it starts off, petition to Congress to investigate the shutdown of USA that has the number one first Black oil company. And there's a video out there that explains pretty much what happened at our trial. It talks about our documents and things like that. So our goal was to create an opportunity for the everyday citizen to experience the American dream. The Black Centennial did a nice story on us back in 2009 about us, the struggles we went through as a company trying to reach the American dream to empower our people, give our people a chance for economic development. So one of the things they're trying to do is get enough people, we'd like to get a million signatures plus of supporters, take that to Hakeem Jeffries in the U.S. Senate and also Cori Bush as well to let them know what happened to get a congressional investigation on her case.
Okay. That is an amazing justifying feat that will take place. This is the Eddie Jones Radio Talk Show, the Eddie Justice Jones Radio Talk Show, where we talk about civil rights, constitutional rights, human rights, your rights, my rights, and our rights because we all have rights. Welcome to the show, Vera Jones. Welcome to the show, Professor Reams. Welcome to the show, everybody. How y'all doing out there?
Just fine, Pastor Jones. And looking forward to listening to more to Mr. Hawkins and his wonderful, wonderful message he's going to give to us.
Amen. Good morning, Vera. Good morning, Vera.
Good morning.
How are you this morning?
I'm doing
good morning,
great. Good morning, Eddie. Good morning, Clarence, Professor Reams, and good morning to our special guests and the listeners.
Okay, so Mr.
Good
Hawkins.
Morning, good morning, Professor Reams. Good morning.
Good morning.
Mr. Hawkins,
later.
I want
good
you
morning,
to
everyone.
Go ahead and take the okay, I want to go back to Mr. Hawkins because I got to run back in and then his line is going to cut off. So Mr. Hawkins, tell everybody how to get to thechange.org one more time, because you need 1 million signatures, right?
Right. It's called Petition Congress to Investigate the Shutdown of USA in the number one, that's first, 1ST. Black Oil Company.
Okay. Clarence, did you get that? Did you get that, Clarence?
Yes, I believe I have it. The petition
okay,
is set
one
down.
More time.
Okay, it's Petition to Congress.
Petition to Congress.
To investigate.
The shutdown. Of USA,
the number one ST,
first
black
oil company. Okay, Clarence, I got to get back inside. Brother Hawkins, I would stay on, but I got to get back inside. So we're going to talk about this. Clarence, I want you to announce this 25 times on the show. And I need everybody to get signatures and go on change.org and get everybody to do this so we can go to Congress and, of course, Brother Hawkins, I'm looking forward to being on your judiciary team as we go to Washington, D.C. to make a difference in the fight for your oil company.
Thank you all. I love you all very much, and I appreciate your support. And, ladies, especially running for the U.S. Senate, we have a lot of supporters in our network that would be more than glad across the nation to help support your bid for the U.S. Senate. Thank you all very much,
too. Everybody say have a good day to Mr. Hawkins, please. And Mr. Hawkins, don't worry. We're on it like grit stuck to a pan. We're on it.
Okay, thank you.
Have a great day, Mr. Hawkins.
Thank you, Mr. Hawkins. We will follow up.
Can you call me back later on today?
Yeah, I'll call you back.
Thank you. All right, God bless you, Mr. Hawkins. All right, bye-bye. To everybody out there, you're on the Eddie Jones Radio Talk Show. I got to get back in. Our next guest will be this very wonderful young lady who's running for Senate, and let's get her. Hold on a second. We want to get Annette Davis Jackson. Are you still with us, Annette Davis Jackson?
I am with you.
Okay, Annette. First of all,
I am with you.
It's an honor and a pleasure to have you on the show this morning.
Thank you so much for keeping your word and coming on, because the topic of the year is voting. The topic for tomorrow is voting. The topic for today is voting. And from that point on, welcome to the show. Everybody, please say hello to Annette Davis Jackson.
Yes, thank you. Hello, hello. Hello, everybody.
Welcome
to the show, Annette Davis Jackson.
Thank you so much. Let me tell you, I am so excited because let me tell you, my father passed away 3 years ago, and he was one of the unsung heroes of the PGA of America. He started his real estate brokerage when he was 20 in Los Angeles, California. He's from Omaha, Nebraska, right? And so it's amazing that he didn't go to the draft because he was married with two children, right? So we're talking about voting today. And we're talking about voting
today.
Yeah,
we always do, man.
And
please, it's just. I apologize.
Should I continue?
You guys go right ahead.
No.
Clarence, take over the show. I'm going to get back to work. Everybody have a good day. I'll probably come on a little bit
later.
But you're on Eddie Jones Radio Talk Show, the Eddie Justice Jones Radio Talk Show, where we talk about civil rights, constitutional rights, human rights, your rights, my rights, and our rights, because we all have rights. Clarence, take the floor. Professor Reams, you guys host it. Have a wonderful, phenomenal, fantastic show on the Eddie Jones Radio Talk Show. God bless you guys.
You know what? Thank you so much. May I continue?
Absolutely.
Okay, so I have a heritage, right? I have a legacy. I didn't even know that I'd be a candidate for U.S. Senate, right? But I just knew that my family, from watching them, right? From my dad establishing his real estate brokerage in 20. From my uncle, which is my mother's brother, Ted Brown, designing the logo for NASA. And when I'm on the same phone call with the only black oil company in America, guess what? I'm going to stand up to attention just like the soldiers and push that baby to the hilt, okay? I'm going to do whatever I can to talk to legislators that I know within the state of Georgia that, you know what, they must push this black oil company. And when I say black oil company, no, I'm going to, this American oil company, they just happen to be of color. Man, I'm going to push that to the hilt. I am so, you guys have put another fire under my belt, because I'm here to restore a 1921 building that my father owned, okay, for 50 years, okay? So it's so very interesting to talk about voting. So voting, let me tell you this, right? So if you go into the Georgia State Capitol and you'll look at, and of course all the capitals, I'm not sure if they have this, but they have a capital fact. It's one person, one vote. But guess who stopped that vote? It was the Democratic Party who stopped that vote, right? And then a lot of the Democratic Party under our American Republic, okay? We're a republic. And under that republic is a democracy, which goes all across the world to teach them how to be a better democracy. So when you look at it, we have to go back to the historical ways of what we know, and then we have to move forward into guiding blacks into business. So voting, we already have those voting rights, because one thing about why I ran for U.S. Senate is because the U.S. Senate is supposed to ratify, meaning everything that was passed in the House, it has to go to the U.S. Senate to see if it makes sense, right? There's so much pork barrel in this legislation, it's crazy. But for my friend here who has the oil company, what we're going to have to do for him is, right, go to the United States Commerce Department. So I can show how to navigate with the friends of mine who are in Congress, but we have to do something about that, because there's no way that that should be shut down. And we saw, you know, once our president got into office, how what happened. Gas prices went high. And in Georgia, the Keystone Pipeline got shut down. Colonial Pipeline in Georgia got shut down. Something is amazingly wrong with that. And that's not our expertise as citizens to know about that stuff. But the United States is the largest oil producer. We should be fighting for that. The United States is the largest oil producer. We should not be shutting down our pipelines to give to overseas entities. And that's what I will say. And so the U.S. Senate has to really look at that and say, you know what? No, America will not be outnumbered by anybody, and you need patriots and people who love America. It's about loving America. I just know that a lot of people want to trash America. For what? We live in the land of the free. We live in the home of the brave. I can walk down the street in my old neighborhood, Pico and Fairfax, in freedom. Voting, we have access to voting. The key is, do we vote? How we vote. And I'll tell you historically, look at this, right? We talk about voting, but we don't connect voting to economic empowerment. We don't connect voting to having multinational and multi-billionaire companies. What we attach voting to is just consumerism. Come on. No, we have to stop that. No, Black America is the largest consumers in the world. How can we transfer that? And not being the largest consumers in the world, to be able to move forward into being the business owners. I grew up in a business. My dad was in real estate. My friends used to say, we didn't know what your dad did because he was always at school. He was always taking the block to their football practices, their bowling competitions, everything. So we have to move towards business. So what I will say as far as voting, we have to couple voting with, okay, who do you vote for? And if you vote for a councilman, if you vote for a senator, if you vote for an alderman, and aldermans are in Chicago, what are they doing for the district that they serve, right? And I'm, you know, issuing an all call today. Wait, who has a blueprint for their district, right? In improvement. In improvement for the school districts, for the colleges, for the young men and women who are in middle school and in high school, there is a comprehensive nature to that blueprint, which the people who we vote for, who we represent, because let's call it plain. The majority of Black Americans vote Democrat, right? And I just need to say, for the majority of Americans who vote Democrat, and I have to be honest and transparent, no, I've always voted Republican because my father and my grandfather were Republican because they were in business. But the bottom line is, what have the people who we voted for, majority Black Americans and Democrat, what have they done for the districts that they serve? Let me tell you, I'm a member of a group called Street Groomers in Georgia. Let me tell you, we go clean up communities. We clean up viaducts where homeless people are, and we want to feed them. We can't feed them until we clean up. See, no, cleanliness is next to godliness. No, we got to clean up these areas. And as I walk, every day I walk down Pico to downtown and everything. And I see so many different things. I see so much graffiti all over the walls and everything. And I'm like, how did this happen? How did this happen for LA? I don't know. But we have to solve that issue. My mother told me, hey, can you help me develop a project for the homeless? Just as a note, my aunt, Martha, who was commissioner of the airport at one point in time, she's deceased right now, but her children are still living here. One of her children is a jazz artist. I mean, she has three children that are amazingly well. But she founded the Skid Row Development Foundation. So we have to do, and I hate to say we have to do more, because you have, that's that operative word, and I was an English major from Spelman College. When you say more, you got to design a blueprint of how to tell people what to do, right? Because this is not, life and business is not osmosively happening, right? So we can't stop at the vote, okay? We have to vote, and then we have to hold our elected officials accountable. I went to the Statesman Academy in Colorado Springs, Colorado, under the Family Policy Alliance, but it was under Dr. James Dobson. So the bottom line, we've got to get our churches involved.
Sister Annette? Sister Annette, this is Eddie Jones, Pastor Eddie Jones. I love all the information that you're sharing. I want to open up the floor so some of the listeners can maybe ask you a question about voting or make a statement about voting. I want to start off with Professor Reams. Professor, could you please take the floor? Our professor on the show, Professor Reams, take the floor. Do you have any questions or statements about voting that the future senator who's running for Senate in Washington, D.C., go right ahead.
No.
Professor Reams.
Georgia. Yes.
Georgia.
For Georgia. Yes. No, Ms. Annette Davis-Jackson. Just can you elaborate more of what you'll do to connect voting to economic, we'll say, development or just provide that economic education for the people so they can be as successful as your legacy that you've shared with us for PICO. So what are you going to do is connect the dots? Yes.
Oh, you know what? Connect the dots. It's so amazing, right? So what we have to do is, right, those who we vote for, we have to look at what economic development policies have they produced. So we got to go and look at what people are voting for, right? Because if they're not voting for economic development within their city municipalities, right, within their counties and within their state, then we have to really go back to the drawing board. And what we find out that none of our representatives are really for economic development within the Black community. I see it all day long, all across wherever I go. And I'm like, wait, how is it that in California I go to certain places and they're developing? Like NPR is down, now down Jefferson, but there used to be a CBS affiliate that was on La Cienega. They're now building amazingly. Now the train system is going to the beach, but guess what? Go south. Nothing's happening south. Development is not happening south at all. So you tie the voting to who is representing us and how they're putting monies into the south part of California that I'm in now to develop. The only thing that I know, they put down Crenshaw Boulevard. They put down, the rail station. Right?
Right.
But guess what?
Yes.
That divested Black businesses. My father used to have a business in Lavert Park, right there. Right? So a lot of the business had to leave. You know, my father for 50 years went to Magnificent Brothers, right? So they had, the live music along Crenshaw, but now you can't even get to it for the train going down. Why did they pick Crenshaw Boulevard? So when you look at that, you have to look at how do we redesign a new blueprint for Black America, because others are moving into that area. My father started his business in Leimert Park. So we have to look at what are people voting for, who we voted for, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times they're voting for development, which the community doesn't even know about, and they can't even take part in. So to me, that's the outcry that we need to have, because they're crippling Black businesses. I've seen it. And look, there's got to be a blueprint for developing that again. There is in Leimert Park, there's a place where line dancers go. It is so amazing. It is so amazing in Leimert Park. But you got to find these things. So we have to grow again. If people, our elected officials shut down how we operate, we're going to have to go back to the drawing board with a number of us and develop another blueprint and keep on going.
Yes,
thank you.
Ms. Jackson, how are you doing? Clarence Allen. Thank you, first of all, for your wonderful answer. My question to you would be, I'm looking at Texas leading in Georgia, right next to Texas, leading in voting restrictions, blocking the votes of people of color. So where do you sit on that? What would you do to eliminate the discrimination with the voting campaign against blacks and people of color? It seemed like that America wants to go back a few decades, and even with the redlining district, and count us out. Where do you stand on that?
That's a lie. See, let me tell you this. The majority of society always wants blacks to be stuck on voting rather than economic building and economic empowerment. All right? You don't have to get permission for economic empowerment. We did it with Black Wall Street. Stonecrest, Georgia, right now, under Jason Larry, let me tell you, they started a new Black Wall Street. Nobody has to tell us. Let me tell you, we've made something out of nothing all day long. What the powers that be want Black America to do is get stuck on voting and say that they're discriminatory. No, we have to remember that the Democratic Party stopped under slavery blacks from voting. They stopped it. They didn't want us to vote. They didn't want us to read, nothing. And a lot of that Democratic Party has went to the Republican Party. So it's almost the same. So everybody in Georgia, they want to call it Jim Crow 2.0. No, forget about Jim Crow. Jim Crow did not make it, right? Our community did make it. If you look at all the inventions and the scientists or whatever and everything, my Uncle Ted Brown designed the logo for NASA. So, see, we have those nuggets of history. When we go back to voting and discrimination, we did have it, but it was under the Democratic Party, right? We did have it, but now we have all access. Do you know you can go online now with technology and vote, right? So let me tell you this. We have to put an onus on voting that go vote. Nobody's stopping us to vote. We got that.
And we got that. See, this is where I have to push back against you and challenge you that I'm looking at the Democrats who all flew to Washington, who has been arrested because the state legislation in Texas wants to block voting rights for blacks, stop the access. So I have to push back on you a little bit against that.
No.
And also,
but even in Georgia,
we're looking at challenges where the voting for last November wants to be recounted, and even in Arizona. So I have to push back and challenge you on that. How do you see that?
Brother Clarence, this is Pastor Jones. Listen, black
Pastor.
People have been hung. Well, let me just share this really quick. Black people have been hung, castrated, beat up, and everything else told, if you come back to this voting poll, we'll kill you, we'll kill your kids. We came from, people have died for us to have the right to vote. It's very important. People say Democratic and Republican is not important, but it is important because there's certain people from certain parties that don't want to see certain other people do certain things. And I don't knock you, Annette, for being a Republican. I don't knock Clarence for being a Democrat or myself being a Democrat. But let's face the reality. People have died to get the right to vote. Can you talk about that, Annette, please? It's so very important.
Yes, I will. I will. And let me tell you, right, I am living, right, because my people have died, okay, for the right to vote. So I do know that, right? My father just died 3 years ago, right? I'm upset about that. I'm upset about my grandfather. I'm upset about dying for the right to vote. I'm upset about that, right? But guess what? I had to fuel it into. They laid their backs. We crawled up the ladder. And I will say that Black America, when we crawled up the ladder, we didn't do the right thing for us, all right? We always want to blame white America for us. No, I'm sorry. We cannot. I have a 21-year-old and a 20-year-old who live on their own today, okay? To live on their own today. So we can keep going back, but right now I stand on the backs of all my generations, right? Even my Indian heritage. I stand on the backs of them because they had to do what they needed to do to protect the land, right? So now while I'm in Los Angeles, California, I'm protecting the land. If I could tell you how a black man went into the tax assessors, right, to pay taxes on a property, right, it was a scheme, right? How about he got a $140,000 loan that same day, a 70-year-old man, same name as my father, forged my father's signatures. Let me tell you this. Don't put all the onus on the white man, right? There are blacks that are coming out here doing schemes, and I had to bust them from Georgia with the help of some of my high school colleagues, right? The title company had to return that three-unit building, which is a 1921 building, back to me. Right? So while we talk about voting, what did I do? I went to Curran Price, who's the councilman in that district. He has not done anything in 4 years to address this situation. So let's not talk about what our white brethren are doing to black brethren, right? No, we need to look at what are the policies and procedures in counties, in municipalities and counties that are stopping us from getting where we need to go. You know, in this, I got tenants, right? But the bottom line is tenants have more rights than owners. And my father's owned properties for 50 years. So that's on the vote. So as my people have voted for all of these people, right, when it comes to development, when it comes to protecting land, we don't see them stepping up to the plate. So, yes, there have been our generations lynched. Do I like that? You've got to be kidding. I'm a mother. I don't like that. I don't like the way that our mothers have been used inside the homes during slavery, all right? And the their husbands had to be outside. I don't like any of that. But guess what? We're now in 2021. What do we do to this day? I don't like it. I really don't like it at all. So I'm having to convince a lot of generations, right? I was in education. Within the alternative schools, do you know what I had to convince those young people who were unsupervised, right, to say that, you know what, you got to promise, you got to build, you got to get into business. And do you know now when I see those kids are like, thank you, Ms. Jackson, we got to take hold of everybody. We got to take hold of voting, right? Because let me tell you what the international communities do it all around, right? They don't just put their vote 99%. In somewhere. They segment their voting, 56, 46, whatever, because they want to get what they want. They go by residential blocks, right, that abut commercial development so that they can build their own communities, their own churches and everything. All I'm saying is, you know what, I get a lot of flack for a lot of stuff, but let me tell you, from growing up in a real estate brokerage with my father, okay, who was a heck of a golfer, this is what I do know, that we have to develop a blueprint for progress. When I heard that only one oil company in Georgia, guess what I'm about to do? I'm about to get it on the phone and call my colleagues who are in Congress to try to help him, right, to try to support him. I don't know of anybody else like him. So that vote produces what we need to do, and our influence produces, but our vote has not attributed to the return on investment for our communities. When I go to Martin Luther King, I'm so mad that Walmart came out of the Crenshaw Mall, and now the Walmarts are in Torrance and Pacific Coast Highway. You know, I had to go get a uniform because my son is playing semi-pro football in L.A., but I had to go to Pacific Coast Highway. Why isn't Walmart in the inner city? We don't talk about those things. That's voting, too. So I just ask, in our voting and how we vote for certain personnel, how are they taking our vote that we give to them, and they have the authority, all right, for developing all this kind of stuff? Are they giving that authority and the dollars over to people who we don't even know? Can we have more questions?
Yes. Okay. Can we get Clarence to ask some questions and make some statements? Clarence M. Allen, jump in there, my brother. Jump in there.
Yes, I was going to get Vera in. Vera been kindly listening. So let's get Vera in and see if she has any questions for Ms. Jackson here. Vera?
Well, good morning again. I just wanted to say it's a great thing for what you're doing for the community, supporting the community. So I just wanted to commend you on that. And you spoke a little bit about the homelessness, the problem we have here. But I wanted to ask you, what are some of the things that we can do to change? And then as far as violence that's going on right now, what are some of the things that you can bring to the community or suggest that the community does as a whole, as a village? And then
Ooh.
I grew up in Lamar Park, so I know that place you're speaking of, and yes, that was one of my places as well. So dancing is a joy for me, and
yes.
I'll listen to your answer.
Well, let me tell you, with the community, we have to develop a blueprint. That's all I know. A lot of times we want to operate haphazardly, right? We think that our voice and our soundbite going out to the community but not ever implementing anything, right? No, we have to have an implementation portal, which is computerized, right? So that when everybody goes up, they see, okay, this is the project that we're doing today. Do you want to come out and do that, right? This is a project that we're doing. We're cleaning up, da-da-da-da. Do you want to do that? We have to have a blueprint. It's time out for just talking or just gossiping, right? So I'm a member, like I said, of a group called Street Groovers in LA. We just fed a community, and guess what? We moved them from apartments to homes. See, we have to have a blueprint. No, it's called Street Groomers.
Street Groomers.
Street Groomers. Yeah, so we have to have people on the streets, street groomers, we have to have people on the streets who notice things, right, and are able to move and develop a blueprint for success. And when I talk about success, getting success, right, we can't just talk about it. We have to develop a timeline for success. When I look at it, and not only that, my mother called me from Atlanta before I came here, and she said, Annette, I need you to write a book on Black history, okay? And you know what I told her mother? She just turned 80. That's another reason why I'm here. She turned 80 on July 5th. I was here for her 80th birthday. I would never miss it. But let me tell you about my mother. My mother worked as a receptionist for United Teachers of Los Angeles. That's how I got my acumen, too. I went to Spelman College. My first job, my mother got me at United Teachers of Los Angeles. I was the sole graphic artist. And she also brought in my best friend, who happened to be in membership, okay, Tammy Weathers. She was the first African-American principal in Murrieta County. So let me tell you, our generations have done amazing things, which we need to chronicle for our generations. Our generations, and my best friend from high school, Rochelle Great, she went on to work for the Pentagon. So let me tell you, we have so many people that guide other generations. We're going to have to keep guiding our generations into key positions, but that's the community. First of all, we just need to talk to each other. Can we just conversate? We need to conversate to find out, where are people, how can we slay them, due to our influence, what do we do? Do you want to start a business? Okay, let's look at this franchise. You got a skill here, skill there. So we need to get with each other just to talk, have a work session, so we can slot people into places and themes or whatever for growth. To me, it's simple. My father used to always talk about Nat. He called me Nat. Things are simple. So we have to go into the simplicities of things, you know, so that we can develop a blueprint. And I'm happy to develop a blueprint for success. We can't talk about it. We have to develop a blueprint for community.
Amen. I love that answer. Wow.
Oh, thank you. I'm glad to be in class. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Do you have another statement or question? Well, Miss Annette Jackson.
Oh, no, she answered the question through Vera.
Oh, my God.
So, no.
Like,
yeah.
Nobody has to. Oh, come on. Ask me some more questions. And let me tell you this. All that I'm saying, I really know. Like, I'm in the microcosm. Let me tell you this. I'm here also. When my father has a three-unit building between Normandy and Vermont, I've had so many code violations to that property, I don't know what to do. I solved them, and guess what the tenants did? They went and did them all over again so the city would come in. You know why? Because they had a purpose. They said, let me mess up this property so we can get reduced rents. You know, so a lot of stuff is happening in Georgia, and I mean in Georgia and in California to produce. So what we did, we brought a crew over there to redesign, pull up floors and everything. Let me tell you, feels like all get out. When I show you guys these pictures, you would be amazed. And I know Black America is clean. Black America is clean. When my grandmother owned a house off of Adams, let me tell you, her steps were clean. She had a light carpet, and she had 9 children. That carpet was never dirty. The sidewalk was never dirty, no litter and everything. So we have to go back to the auspices of what we knew to do, because I'm going to tell you this. Everybody considered us as being the ones who were the cleanup woman, the cleanup man, you know, building everything. When I walked down Pico and I was just perusing, how about a guy who had his, he just got out of the hospital, had a big belly. He might have been Caucasian or some other international reality. He said, he whistled. And you know what? I walked back just to see what he would say, right? He said, can you come and clean my little trailer? What? He had Heineken bottles, all that kind of stuff. And you know what I thought about it? I said, wait, his sister was laying prostrate. She was asleep as all get out, right? I said, why didn't she clean? You got four other people staying with you, whatever. Why don't you clean, right? And then I thought about it. I wanted to help them, but I said, look, what if I start helping them and then they drag me off and nobody ever hears about me, right? So it was amazing, right off of Pico, where the Vons is. And I thought about it. We don't want to clean up anymore. Our trash cans, when I saw how our trash cans are fully up to the brim, you know, no, somebody needs to be doing that. We need to be making sure that when our trash cans are up to the top, somebody's already there. So, I mean, I've said a lot, but see, I've done the work myself within our communities, even protecting my dad's communities. And I'll end here, right? When the black gentleman who's the same name as my dad's name, Gerald Davis, but he has an O in it, right? When I questioned him, when he went to the tax assessors, got $140,000 loan, and a gentleman named Ron Perlstein off of Overland. And see, I did the Columbo work. I mean, I should really be the black woman Columbo, to be honest. You couldn't even get into his facility. And I understood why. How about when the title company gave the property back to me, he got $150,000 because he put title insurance on my dad's property that he had owned for 50 years. So see, a lot of stuff is going on with taking property away from black America. It's not just voting. Voting produces that, but there's so much simultaneously that's going on in America.
Once again, you're tuned into the Eddie Justice Jones Blog Talk Radio Show. If you're on your laptop, you can tell your friends to go to blogtalkradio.com. Hit the search button and go to Eddie Jones Jr. _ Productions. You can also call in at 646-787-8064. That's 646-787-8064. And we have the wonderful Annette Davis Jackson on as a guest this morning. She's running for Senate. The state of Georgia, if I'm not mistaken. And so, Annette, we're here to support you. We want to see you run for your office. And so we want to hear.
You're breaking up, Clarence. Clarence, you're breaking up.
I can't hear you clearly, who's ever speaking. And so, Annette, my question is, if you can hear me clearly, what are you going to do to make change when you get in office? What does that community, that district area that you're running for in Georgia, what does it need, and what are your goals and purposes when you step in office?
Well, you know, here's the thing. Everybody always asks that, what are you going to do? I'm saying nosotros in Espanol, okay? What are we going to do, right? I'm an impetus for people, right? And so I have to show people, hey, how we all have to get it done, right? So let me give you just a historical balance. Georgia has 159 counties, right? So we have
Excuse
to go to 159.
Excuse me, Annette. Apologize to interrupt you because I'm not hearing you clearly. The phone is gargling. Is anyone else hearing static in a conversation? Is it clear, Professor Reams? How's your reception?
Oh, yeah. Well, I can hear loud and clear, but I can also hear the static as well. So, but it's still clear.
Okay,
it must be my phone.
Okay,
go ahead,
so can you hear me now? Okay, so Georgia has 159 counties, but let me tell you, I want to move to L.A. because I'm here in L.A. I grew up. Let me tell you, I went to Lewis Pastor Junior High School. Do you know what they did? They changed it to Laces. I don't even understand why they changed it, because Lewis Pastor was amazing, right? So this is my foundation. So I want to protect the foundation of Los Angeles County. However you guys need me, I fly back in here a lot. I want to be a part of what you guys are a part of, and I bet you that I can yield influence in Los Angeles. I know a lot of people, you know, I went to elementary, junior high school, and high school with them. So, look, it's just not about for me here in Georgia. I'm living a legacy of my father, who's one of the unsung heroes of the PGA of America. He was a golfer. He came from Omaha, Nebraska. He had his own brokerage. His first office was in Leimert Park. So I'm here for you, right? Let's take me out of the picture as far as I'm concerned. I'm here for you to find, to develop a blueprint so that we can, and my grandmother, his mother, my father's mother, she said, you got to crawl before you walk. And let me tell you, she was the elevator attendant. She gave us a lot of money when she passed away. She was the elevator attendant, but you know why? Because she knew how to invest in stocks, okay? She knew what she was doing, and she didn't have to broadcast it. Let me tell you, we are so resilient.
Sister Annette, this is Pastor Eddie Jones. I don't mean to interrupt you. You're telling a phenomenal, fantastic, tremendous story. But I want you to work along with me, and I want to reach out to you after the show to work along with Mr. Hawkins. Mr. Hawkins, who we talked about earlier, I heard you say you're interested in working with that. We definitely want to do that. So can I reach out to you after the show?
You know what? You sure can. You sure can. But it's about implementation. You know, I'm not here for the hoorahs. I'm good. But I care about our future generations from middle school to high school, from middle school to young adults who we have to slot into key positions, okay?
Well, I want to ask you a question, Annette. I have a question for you, Sister Annette. They have remasked everybody in California. There's a new Delta variant, which we talked about on the show last week. Our second topic for the day, our first topic was from behind the walls, but our second topic for the day is they're remasking everybody in California. How do you feel about it? They're remasking everyone in California, whether you're in or out the building. How do you feel about it is the topic. Why don't you start it off for us, Sister Annette? How do you feel about putting a mask back on in California, and what does it mean to you?
Well, you know what the thing about it, right? I don't know if you guys have done fully your research, right? If you go up on the FDA website, first of all, the vaccine that they're giving to everybody is an experiment like the Tuskegee experiment, number one, right? Let me answer the question fully, all right? Because I don't care to put sunshine up anybody's tail, to be honest, right? So if you look up on the FDA website, it's an emergency authorized use. It's not authorized. This vaccine is not authorized. It's the same as the Tuskegee experiment. And the bottom line, it's about population control. If you look at who has the patent on the vaccine, it's Fauci and Bill Gates. So Black America, they want Black America not to research and not to buy into this. Let me tell you, it's an mRNA, right? And if you go back to your fourth grade history, right, where you learn in science, right? So the mRNA changes your DNA. Why would people want to go and change their DNA? And that's the problem. We're having problems, so they knew people would die, okay? Then guess what they do? When it didn't go along their way, guess what they produce? A Delta variant. Come on now. How did they get the word Delta? How did they even get the word COVID, right? They got it from the SARS, and they created this stuff. So there are so many people creating all of this propaganda to scare the people away. And you know what I just say? You better pray to the Lord in Jesus' name. You better pray to the Lord in Jesus' name. Drink your water. Take your zinc, right? Exercise, because the body can heal itself. Let me tell you, I'm a former college coach, right? I got expelled into the NCAA with an amazing athletic director who was the first female coach across the country in women and men's sports for the University of Chicago. So I know fairly well, and not only that, I'm a 40-plus year vegetarian, right? So I started when I was 17. The bottom line is our health is personal to us, right? So we have to pay attention to our health. And the bottom line is we have 90 minerals that we need in our bodies. When doctors get their residency and everything, and I was slated to be a doctor at Spelman, but I changed my major to English, right? Because I wanted to read, write, and comprehend. These doctors only have 8 hours of nutrition. They know not nutrition. They know drugs. Okay?
Yeah,
they know big pharma.
Sister Annette, I apologize for interrupting you so abruptly. You answered the question. You and I are on the same page with this COVID-19 and these shots and everything. And I told people a long time ago, over a year ago, that the FDA has not and the CDC has not approved the Derma, the Johnson & Johnson. None of the shots are approved by the FDA because they know that there's something, some sort of corruption going on. It's altering DNA. It's killed off. They're depopulating the world right now. They're depopulating the world, and that includes kids, adults, and everybody. And it's something going on with this shot. And I've been telling people they don't want to believe it, but the truth is going to be told and the truth is going to be shown. And I'll give it a year, and you're going to see some amazing things take place, and they're not going to take responsibility for it. So I want to go back to you, Brother Clarence. Brother Clarence, take the floor. Let's go over to Professor Ream. Professor Ream, we have to mask back up in California. Want to hear from you, Professor Ream. Take the floor. What do you think about it? How does it affect us?
Well, for many of us, I can't talk for everyone, the precautions that were taken that allowed us, for many people who were doing, whether they took the vaccine or not, it seemed like wearing the mask was working as along with keeping your distance and following that protocol. And I am on the cautious level because the fact that still, even if we were freed up to not wear our mask, I'm still wearing my mask overall because the fact that I could be a carrier of whatever it is. And then with my students, and family members who are, some are vaxxed or some are not, that I just do not want to have the guilt of having carried it and then passed it on, because with the vaccine is that's it. It doesn't mean it's a cure for COVID. Or if you're not, the virus itself, you can carry it and be asymptomatic. So I'm doing this just to be cautious. And I was going to continue to do it through the whole year until we got to blue on whatever indicator that we had locally. Plus, I'm surrounded by all of these, what I call our babies, each and every day. And I would hate for them to have caught this from me because I'm instructing them in some way, shape, or form. So at the university I'm at, we're still keeping the distance. We're still masking. And we're just moving on in love because of the fact that we just don't want people to get this. So I have no problems with that, especially with a lot of the changes in there. Now, with the details on the variant versus not the variant and all the other things involved in it, that's there. But for me, just like if you're driving on the freeway, I'm going to drive defensively, so I'm going to also act defensively so I care about other folks. And so I yield back to you, Pastor Jones. Pastor Jones,
What I want to say is now they're using the vaccine and all this virus thing to separate people. They're saying that the people who have not taken the shot are causing people who have taken the shot to get the disease. That is a lie coming from the government. That's a lie. What it is people who have taken the shot are now getting COVID-19 all over again because the shot is not working. They're not telling the people the truth. The shot does not work. You can still get COVID-19. Without further ado, Clarence and Allen, elaborate on that and tell people how you feel about that. What do you think about people still getting COVID-19 even though they've taken the shot? Professor Reams, you might have to take over. We got a little something going on with the sound. So you take over, Professor Reams, please. Post it.
Okay, yeah, there's, okay. Well, then, if not, Vera, what are your thoughts on the mask being reinstated?
Well, I feel that we have to watch out, and especially for ourselves and our loved ones. And we have to do this as a village and as a community. So I feel, yes, we should mask up. I'm still masking when I go to different places. And if you guys could keep two of my friends in mind and in prayer, along with others that are suffering from this trauma, that are in the hospital at this time fighting for their life because of this new strain that's out. And this is really serious. So even others that have got the jab, guess what? Also picked up the same thing. So the vaccine itself, I really don't know about it. And it's not, everything is definitely not for everyone, and it is not for me. Back to you, Professor Ames.
Thank you so much. And so let's see if we have Brother Clarence. Clarence, are you available? Are you in studio? Okay.
I believe
All right.
his phone went
Oh, his phone went down. Our wonderful guest, Annette Davis Jackson, are you still with us? Just to make sure. Annette? Oh.
Yes,
wow.
I'm still with you. I'm still with you. Yes, I am.
Oh. Okay.
Yes.
Perfect. Yeah. Yeah. So we do appreciate once again the wonderful everything that you've said and shared and talked about. And this is the segment where we have a guest, and then we also have a question that we send out to the listeners. Now, in my capacity,
yes.
I don't have the ability to screen the calls or bring anyone in. That's with Pastor Jones.
Okay,
but
well,
we do have these glitches. Yes.
Professor Mann,
yes.
I'd like to ask her
yeah.
one more question.
Sure.
Sister Annette, people are dying that have taken the COVID-19 shot. They're getting COVID-19 again. I'd like for you to say what you feel about that. Now, hear me out now. The people, they're saying that the people that took this, that haven't taken a shot are making the people who have taken a shot sick. I disagree completely. People that have taken the Proderma and any Johnson & Johnson, they're still getting COVID-19. So what do you think about that, Annette? Take the floor.
Oh, my God. Thank you so much. And let me tell you, I just want to say I'm crying right now. You know, I'm so crying right now because I did a story with MVP TV Network, which I work with in Atlanta. And I'll tell you, there were so many people taking the shot, right, at State Farm Arena. It was amazing. It was like a football game, and we had to chronicle it, right? But nobody ever did the research. So I'm like crying right now because nobody knows what's in it. Right? And I do know that the mRNA changes your DNA. So why would you change your DNA? Right? Because what is known, if you look at the properties, the bottom line, it's a dormant germ that they've put into your body. It's a dormant germ. All right? So if it's a dormant germ, when does it arise and get you? You know, I mean, it's crazy. So I'm crying right now. Another great King Aaron. Do you know when he took the vaccine? Guess what? He expired immediately when he took it. Hank Aaron, one of our greats. And so not just him, but there are a lot of people expiring because of it. But more importantly, this is a message that we need to look at. We need to take our health more seriously. You know, I hear a lot of people talking about my doctor, my doctor, my doctor. But my doctor is tied into big pharma to give us drugs, all right, that won't produce, that will produce sometimes death. When I look at my father, let me tell you, all they gave him was morphine, okay? So we have to look at all these things. You know, we can't take things for just of what the newspapers say and what the media says. No, we have to look at individuals. What are they ailing from? And we have to figure out how to stop their ailing. Our old generations, man, let me tell you, my grandmother cooked greens and all that kind of stuff fresh. So, and they never had a problem. How do we get problems? Wait, Big Pharma, taking medicine, high blood pressure pills. Some people's mouths go out because of the blood pressure pills. We got to look at all those synthetic properties which are affecting that melanin experience that we already have genetically within our body. So I just implore everybody, learn your body, right? Learn your body, and there are minerals that you are lacking. Now they talk about vitamin D, zinc. They don't even want people to take that because guess what? They want people to take drugs.
Sister Annette, I apologize. I want to get Clarence Allen back into the show. Clarence and Malin, are you there? Clarence and Malin, are you still there?
Yes, can you hear me now, Pastor Eddie?
Okay, I can hear you now. Hold on, Clarence. Don't go anywhere. Forgive me. We're trying to get this fixed. Talana Jones, are you on the show? Talana Jones.
I'm here, darling.
Okay, good. We have everybody in. Hold on. And then we have a caller with a question in the 503-747. Caller in the 503-747 area code. Are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, we got Linda on. Okay. Clarence, take back over. Professor Reams, you're doing a great job. Everybody's doing a wonderful job. Annette, thank you for being on the show. We appreciate you. Don't go anywhere, Annette. We're going to get right back to you. Clarence, take the floor. Our subject matter and topic is we're remasking back up again in California. What do you feel about it? Go right ahead. Take the floor, Clarence.
Yes, first of all, let me welcome Linda Goldie back. Linda Goldie had an incident where she was very severely injured, been hospitalized, had surgery. And so now she's a remarkable woman back in the studio. Welcome to you, Talana Jones. For being in studio with us. And earlier when our guest for our co-hosts who are coming in is Annette Davis. She's a candidate for Congress out of Georgia. And she's been very informative, very educational, sharing a lot of information that we need to know and we need to be surprised of. There was some things that Annette was saying about this masking. She was saying with the injections of the vaccine that I was riding parallel with her wit when Pastor Eddie Jones had mentioned that we have covered this last week a little bit. We have talked about the COVID-19. We have talked about this variant last week. And some of the things that you said, Annette Jackson, I was saying also, and what I said last week was when we hear the media tell us that this has mutated to where we have these 3 to 4 different mutations, and so I was to question that also. How do we know that it's mutated? If we pay attention that none of these variants are coming out of the United States, every variant that we hear of that's coming out is coming from somewhere else in the world, even the original coronavirus. Why did it come out of China? You know, when we go back to the Ebola, why did it come out of Africa? If you notice that none of these diseases that are man-made created are coming out of this nation. So we have to question. We have to educate and research and question everything that is coming from this media. You know, if you pay attention that these variants, science will tell you that it can mutate. But how do we know that this variant wasn't developed in a laboratory, put into a community that is not abreast of education, that is not well off in its community, and they put it in there like in Wuhan and these other places in Europe where these variants came out. So we have to question this. And with these vaccines, we don't have a good history of trusting this nation or any other nation with these mad scientist vaccines that they're creating. They keep us ignorant of medical science by having these research centers. And then they say they
found something. We made a discovery. No, you have not. This was already here. But what they have done in these research centers to take the credit from holistic health medicine is use these chemical compounds and put them together, and they say they made a discovery because they cannot put a patent on a plant. So this is what's happening. And then when it comes to this mask, you know, I said it before, the first rule of boxing before the referee let both boxers go in before they ring the bell, he says protect yourself at all times. So we do have to protect ourselves. And another thing that I don't think we mentioned on the show is when we listen to these doctors on CNN, MSNBC, Fox News, or whatever they come from, none of them is talking about how to build your immune system up. They're all leading to take this vaccine. This is a business. This is a multi-trillion dollar business. They're holding the country under hijack. They're hijacking us by getting us to believe that we have to take this vaccine or it could cost your life. So we have to be intelligent. We have to re-educate ourselves, and we have to be very informed. Even when Ms. Jackson talked about that MNR antigen, it is a part of the DNA that comes when they take a part of that. You get the RNA, the radio frequency. And so when they manipulate that, when she said it could be dormant, that's exactly what it is. It'll be dormant in your system, and after a period of time when it activates, it'll change the chemistry in your body. And who knows what will happen. So we have to be highly intelligent. We have to do our own research, and we have to educate ourselves. And so now I'm going to go to Talana Jones. Talana Jones, good morning. Our topic that we are talking about, we're talking about California. The state of California has made it mandatory where you have to mask inside of buildings, whether you have your vaccination or not. We want to hear your input.
Good morning, Senator Marlin, and good morning to Dad and Derek and Professor Lane, and again to our guests. I just want to touch on, I agree with the entire panel, number one. I have not taken the vaccine. I don't agree with any injecting something in your body that you already have natural antibodies inside of your system that regenerate and rejuvenate yourself just from, I heard, vitamin D. One of my favorites that I'm doing, I always speak on is ginger root. I take it on a consistent basis daily now. It's also a high immune system booster, something that is high in antioxidants. Keeping your body up is most important. I don't feel that taking or the new Delta virus I heard is, and this is on Wikipedia, is actually supposed to be a virus that is transmitted from your feces.
Oh my
which
God.
Which doesn't quite make any sense. Yes. They say that it's not even told how it's contracted. It doesn't say if we are susceptible to it through food or water or any such thing like that. So right now I am keeping my body clean of anything that has, you know, processed food in it, and maintaining a healthy diet, or we call it a food modification because you are what you eat. And just keeping, for the people who have already taken the virus, it is sad. I feel for the families and the community period because USA really doesn't understand. I wouldn't put something in my body that, especially to my kids as well, the same thing. I wouldn't give something to them that would make them sick. So why would we give something to our bodies from the world that would make them sick? And then the dormant part that I heard you say is, so that just means it has a resting period. It will sit in your body We are unknown on how long it will take for it to show its effect. And I heard there's four different variants, so that's a that's going to hurt anyone who decides to ingest it in their system, because you already have, as I said earlier, something to help yourself regenerate your own so that you can heal yourself. So I disagree.
Yes, thank you, Talana Jones. We want to welcome back our co-host, Linda Goldie. She's up in Oregon. Linda, welcome back. And the question for our second topic, and make sure you say hello to Ms. Annette Davis-Jackson, who's a candidate for the Senate in the state of Georgia. Make sure you say hello to her. And also, let's hear your comment on California. We must mask to go inside of a building. Linda Goldie, please take the floor.
Okay. Well, I just wanted to thank you for all the wonderful information that your guest has been giving us. And, you know, for her zealousness to just get things done. It's wonderful. As far as my children are in California, and I have recently read something about how the masking hurts your health. you know, because you can't breathe normally. And I don't remember the details, but, you know, I probably would agree with that. And this whole COVID thing, it's just horrific. And, no, I have not. I was worried sick when I was in the hospital and in rehab. I was afraid that they were going to give me the virus or the test without my knowledge, you know. But as far as I know, they didn't. So when I got home, they gave me a whole packet of pills to take, and they're sitting in the packet where they... And I told the doctor, I said, as soon as I get home, I'm going to have to detox because I don't normally take any of this stuff. You know, and they wrote that in my discharge papers that, you know, I was one of those people. So anyhow, I really think that I don't know what to tell people. I mean, my family have all gotten the shots, and, you know, I can't say anything that they're free agents, you know, but they think because I'm old, you know, they have to tell me what to do. And I just don't necessarily do what they want me to do. So, anyway, that's kind of it.
Yes, thank you, Linda. And Annette, we're going to get your final comment on this topic, and then we're going to get ready to go into our regular segments where each of our hosts have their own special topic. And so we want to thank you for coming on this show, first of all. Much needed information, much needed to know who you are, what you're doing in life, and what you're doing for the people. So, first of all, thank you so much for coming on. And Annette, come on, please take the floor and give us your last commentary.
My last commentary is the medical, okay, establishment, right, is under compromise, right? And I noticed it with my father, right? My father died of a morphine drip. In his cases before the Medical Board of California, they tried to reject it, all that kind of stuff, but I chronicled everything to them taking his monitors off so we couldn't see his pulse and everything. I had a high school friend. We had to go get a thermometer to test him, right, to see if his temperature was up, right? So we had to put, you know, ice on his forehead. I mean, everything. Let me tell you, our medical profession is really, I don't know what word to use, but let me tell you, they're not doing the best for us. They're lying to us. And I am crying because I know within a shadow of a doubt when I dealt with my father in the Kaiser system, right, of what's happening at all costs. And so we want to just listen to what the medical profession is doing, but the bottom line is they don't know. They're pushing what their pockets produce. And we have to, as citizens, stop letting people produce the medical profession what their pockets produce, because they know nothing about the dang body. They know nothing about preserving the body. The vaccines are just, you know what, it's a money grab. It's a money grab in the highest existence. And, you know, if, don't believe me. Look up who has the patent for the vaccines. That'll tell you everything. That'll tell you how the mRNA is changing your DNA. And the bottom line, everybody's talking about the vaccines. And the brother who spoke, and let me tell you, I salute him. Because the thing about it is, we've been vaccinated since we were children, right? How dare them, when we're an adult, want to put forth, you're fully vaccinated if you take this vaccine. No, it's an experiment, like the Tuskegee experiment, right? And so that's all I really have to say. We have to be mindful. Look, can we read? Can we read? Can we go up on the FDA website? The FDA already said that this ain't approved. It's emergency authorized approved for the drug companies, okay? For the drug companies, what does that say? And then Black America and other Americans going at lock, stock, and barrel because they're scared. Guess what they know? That when people are in fear, they'll do anything. And then later they have to say, dang, I wish I wouldn't have done that, right? The body can heal itself. The body can heal itself. Our grandparents, our great-grandfathers and everything, they went and boiled barks of trees and everything. They used apple cider vinegar. You know, they used castor oil, and I'll end there, right? Castor oil. We need to go back to the old foundations, which are paramount to our organizations, instead of listening to doctors and scientists who know nothing, and their whole Machiavellian experience is to expire populations. I'll end there. Thank you so much.
Thank you for all the information. And I was just reminiscing on. Yes, let's give our guest a hand. Yes, Pat Jettie.
Yes, let's give our guest a hand.
Thank you so much.
Okay.
So much.
We're so happy to have you. I want to say thank you so much for coming on. And let's not forget Mr. Hawkins, Israel Owen Hawkins, who's behind the walls, first black man to own an oil company in America, who is going through some trials and tribulations right now. I want to say thank you very much as we go into our next segment of the show. But before we go into our next segment, we want to hear a poem, some poetry, to cool all of it down from Linda. But before we do, thank you, Annette Jackson. I'll be contacting you soon. Let's remember not to forget. It lays dormant in your body, and when they activate it, something strange is going to happen to our DNA. Are you ready? No, none of us are ready. That's the reason why I'm not taking a shot. This is Pastor Eddie Jones. You're on Eddie Jones Radio Talk Show, the Eddie Justice Jones Radio Talk Show. Trust me, there will come a time. Why do you think they're trying to get in space right now? Because down here is going to be the late, great Earth. They're moving life up in space, jobs up in space, hotels and everything else is going to be up in space. This is why they're all racing to get up there. Pay attention. Remember, the only limit in life is the one you put on yourself, so let there be no limits. And remember this, we can't let that steal our joy. They have always been experimenting on African Americans since the beginning of time, and they're not going to stop now. This is Eddie Jones Radio Talk Show. Clarence, take the floor. Let's go into our next. Linda Goldie, take the floor. Give us some poetry and cool us off.
Okay. This is one of the most positive poems that I've written lately. A lot of my poetry is not, it's focused on the problems that we are facing. But it's called Don't Waste the Day. I don't want to waste the day, not one moment of it, whether work or whether play. I want to say I love it. Each brimming dawn will soon be gone, and where will I be then? Waiting for tomorrow or living once again? God knows the rose, how long it grows, and every season's flower. And though it has some thorns to pick, its beauty will empower the memory of its fragrance in the fading blossom's hour. I don't want to waste the day with grumbling and complaining, even though I may be slow as the day is waning. If I chase the day in haste, how little will I know it? I don't want to waste the day. I only want to grow it.
Ooh.
Nice. Nice. That's amazing. Yes. Beautiful. Welcome back, Linda. And I'll have to push back against you and disagree because all of your poetry is enlightening, is life-giving. It brings light to our lives. So we just want to thank you, Linda, for sharing all your poetic knowledge, your gift from God Almighty who allows you to just give us this beautiful writing of manuscripts that you produce. So thank you, Linda. And we want to thank again our special guest, Mr. Israel Owen Hawkins and Annette Davis Jackson. Let's get involved with both of these causes and make things happen. We want to thank all of our listeners throughout the United States and around the world who tuned
Brother
in to this show.
Brother
yes,
Clarence,
sir, go ahead, Pastor.
We also have Dr. Aretha Adams Jones on, too. So we got everybody on. Everybody ready for their remarks. Dr. Beaton's on, Talana's on, Professor Rain's on, Vera's on. We're ready for it all. God bless you. Take it
all right. Well, let's give it to Talana Jones because we need our words of wisdom. Talana Jones.
Good morning again, Terrence, and thank you, everybody. This is Words of Wisdom, and today this is an honor. Everything I've heard today, it sounds like we are all surviving the grief process of this pandemic. It's still not exactly normal. I don't think we will ever exactly go back to normal. I do believe in healing. I believe that there's a purpose for it. And yes, it doesn't always come from the doctor. I believe that remedies and, like I heard, castor oil, I'm going to add to that castor oil and say cod liver oil. My mom and my grandmother were famous for giving cod liver oil whenever we were sick, and that would build our immune system quickly, and we wouldn't have to worry about being sick no longer than maybe 2 or 3 days. And after that, the sickness is gone. So that means it took our bodies only 48 hours to ingest and receive the cod liver oil, which is also a blessing. So something to add to your list of things. But this, I pray that you enjoy this. Remember, I love you to life, and thank you so much for always bringing wisdom. Poetry is also words of wisdom. So this reads, The Guide to Surviving Grief. Cry whenever you need to. Scream. Shout. Lay on the floor. Sob in the shower. Be still. Run. Walk. Create. Live your truth. Share without fear. Listen. Release your pain. Breathe. Be courageous. Throw away the mask. Wander. Be real. Be compassionate. Read. Seek friendship, be vulnerable, and don't fear being broken. Thank you.
Amen.
Thank you.
Good man.
Amen.
Words of wisdom. Words of wisdom. A word of the week. A word of the week is passion. Passion. And I like to call our co-host who's bringing us passion every week. She is our mental health expert, Dr. Aretha Adams Jones. Please come in. Hello to you.
Well, to you, Regulator, and to all the co-hosts and Pastor Eddie, happy Monday to you all. And I hope your day is going great. And so I just briefly want to say that a couple weeks ago, I started talking about eating disorders because oftentimes they're ignored or they're just looked over. Oh, it's just a normal thing. People just want to, you know, watch their weight and things of that nature. But there are eating disorders, which can cause a great deal of distress on the body, and it's also considered a mental illness. And so I talked about anorexia. I talked about anorexia, which is when the person just eats small amounts of food to prevent gaining weight, and they're below the body, the ideal body weight. And then last week I talked about bulimia, and that's when people eat large amounts of food. They do eat, but they afterwards they purge, either by vomiting or taking laxatives or, you know, diuretics. So today I'm just going to talk about binge eating. It's a little different. So binge eating, as the name suggests, they just consume an abnormal amount of, a large amount of food in a short period of time, okay? And so they consume food faster than normal, and they become uncomfortably full. So they don't vomit or, take laxatives or overengage in exercise. So they tend to, you know, gain weight. And according to the DSM-5, which is the Diagnostic and Statistical Manual, mild versions of binging, well, 1 to 3 episodes per week is considered mild. 4 to 7 episodes per week, considered moderate. 8 to 13 episodes a week is considered severe, and extreme is 14 or more binge episodes per week. Okay, and then in closing, it could be a psychological component to this, depression, anxiety, and then of course it takes a toll on the body because it can affect the heart and the kidneys, and sometimes even result in death. Okay, and studies show that the eating disorders do run in families. The treatment is the mental health treatment, you know, the counseling, cognitive behavioral therapy, group therapy, and there's also nutritional counseling, which is very effective for eating disorders. And sometimes they individuals are put on medication regime as well. Okay, and so because of the stigma attached to mental illness, eating disorders or misconceptions, a lot of people do not get the help that they need. It is a real disorder, and it is treatable, okay? And so I just wanted to say that back in the day, studies showed that in the Caucasian youth, women, it was more prevalent in white women, but now it's increasing in African Americans and other ethnic groups. Okay, I wanted to share that with you today, and I wanted to say that mental health matters, and it's time to remove the stigma. God bless you,
Dr. Rita. Let's give her a hand.
Amen. Thank you, Dr. Rita.
Thank
Woo!
You, Dr. Rita. Ooh.
Thank you.
Now, Dr. Rita, do I stay on laying down on my sofa or can I get up now?
You can get up now, Regulator.
Okay.
You
do
can
we
get
still
up
have
now.
Our special guest, Ms. Jackson, in? Ms. Jackson, are you still on the show? Okay, well, we're going to go to Vera Jones. Because, you know, one thing about this show, it has to do with a lot of health and wellness. And we deliver it here on Eddie Justice Jones Radio Blog Talk Show in many different varieties.
Linda Goldie with her beautiful life-empowering poetry. Talana Jones, words of wisdom. I mean, I can't say enough about everyone in this segment. Dr. Rita, you know, strengthening our mind, educating our mind, and giving our mind the ability to overcome all of our life challenges. Vera Jones with health and wellness, you know, she gives us that information to keep our bodies strong and healthy. Pastor Jetty Jones, our spiritual leader, you know, he's the head of this show. And you know, it's because of God through him that we are here. Me, myself, I'm the regulator. I do whatever little I can, but, you know, my favorite saying now at the end of the show is, when our commentator, Professor Reem, slams the trunk of the Eddie Justice Jones limousine, this show has hit the road. But before we hit the road, we got to have health and wellness. Vera Jones, please take the floor.
Thank you, Clarence. Thank you, everyone, for listening to Health and Wellness today. And today we're going to speak about getting moving. Let's get moving. So I am not a doctor. That's my disclaimer. But I just like to enjoy sharing with you every single week. And to get moving, let's note this. Our physical activity, it tends to decline as we age. So what we must do is make a point to stay active at all times. And we have to work with strength and flexibility because our body carries us. And our cardiovascular system, yes, we need to make sure that we keep moving with exercise. Now, most of all of us, we usually drive a car, a truck, or a motorcycle. But now I just want you to walk. Just take a moment and walk at least 5 times per week if you can. Walk your dog, walk your grandchild, and just get 30 minutes in there. You can walk 15 minutes one direction and 15 minutes in the next. And guess what? It's really good for our limbs, our muscles, our bones. It's good for our mental health, our physical health. And what you can do is, if you're having problems as far as any type of disability and you cannot exercise, well, do like I did when I was confined to a wheelchair. Take some water bottles and do what you can with your arms, your legs, and when you get the opportunity, make sure that you get someone to help you with physical therapy because that's really important. And acupuncture is one that works really great. So what I usually do is begin my morning with prayer and meditation. And it's a habit. It's just as a habit as we brush our teeth. And we have to loosen up the stiffness. And it begins with our head to our toe and our body. So what you can start with is some neck rotations, some shoulder circles, do some bicep strengthening. And most of all, that carries us most is our core. So do some leg lifts, some sit-ups, some planks, some side stretches, some leg and glute stretches. And if you can, learn the warrior pose in yoga. Now, some of the exercise that I really enjoy is dancing, walking, stretching, skating, gardening, biking, racquetball, and any other type of exercise. So the benefits are it will definitely increase your energy. You'll notice a change, a boost in your metabolism. Your mood will be enhanced, and your body will definitely become toned. So take a before and after picture and just watch those calories and the fat just burn off. Remember that song called Burn, Baby, Burn? Well, let's burn some of the fat away because guess what? We want to live longer. So we must keep our immune system strong, And as Annette and Talana and Clarence and Professor Reams and Dr. Reether has all mentioned, and there is a way for us to work this all into our system. Now, staying hydrated is another thing, because guess what? Our limbs cannot move properly without hydration. And I just want to share with you really quick, if you have a pen and paper ready, you can make your own Gatorade. I never buy Gatorade. I'm not a doctor, as I mentioned earlier, so if you have any problems where you have to watch your sodium intake, this may not be good for you. But this is a natural Gatorade, cucumber, mint, orange, cilantro, pineapple, and rosemary, or whatever you like. And there is no food coloring, no artificial sweeteners. And you could put some coconut water with sea salt, honey, lemon, or lime juice and water. And you can have that after working out. And make sure that you use some of the great things that we have, which are the colors of the rainbow. And in doing so, we can start by preparing our mindset by getting our gear, exercise things out. Keep a journal of what you're doing and what you would like to accomplish. And then, guess what? You may feel that, hey, I feel popping, cracking into my bones. I may feel some pain. So if you feel that, hey, make sure that you stretch. Before you begin everything, stretch and pray. And if you're going to get in the tub, which I suggest all men, not just ladies, but get in the tub and sit, because that's what the ancient ones did back in the day. So you can do this with some sea salt, Epsom salt, baking soda, a little apple cider vinegar, and your favorite essential oil. Now, I like to add some fresh things to my tub. I make it colorful. So I may have roses or lemons, grapefruit, or maybe eucalyptus leaves, because it's all that I adore. And to keep that body moving, let's make sure that we are having enough fiber foods, because once you start exercising, you will notice a big change. So if you can snack on some avocado, some broccoli, oatmeal, apples, beans, berries, whole grain, or dried fruit, yes, and remember, there is no fiber in meat, no fiber whatsoever in meat, in dairy, or sugar. And the fiber can assist our digestive system to prevent constipation and for us to have better poops. And try to get as many poops in as you can. Just remember the three R's, and I will be closing. Rest for self-care. Recharge. Because we need the exercise and rejuvenate your body with what we eat. And stay healthy, stay well, your water intake, and make sure you stay guarded. Amen.
Amen. Let's give Bill a hand.
Excellent job.
You know, Vera, I was on a healthy journey with that. I was in the florist shop. I was in the nursery. I mean, you know, I was in the farmer's garden. My mind was just going through a healthy journey of life as you were just going through your segment. But I want you to give that ingredient for that homemade Gatorade again. I wasn't able to jot it all down. So if you can go through that list one more time.
Oh, sure. Now, you can use whatever fruits or veggies that you personally have, but one of my favorites is the cucumber, chopping up some cucumber, mint, orange slices, cilantro, pineapple, rosemary leaves. And then what I add to it is some coconut water along with sea salt. Now, I can't give you the measurements because I just kind of make, I'm not sure, really sure. But I also add honey with fresh lemon, lime, and then the water. So
thank
that
you,
is
Billy.
A natural Gatorade. That's one of my favorite natural Gatorades. And I like to add pomegranates. If you can get some fresh pomegranates, squeeze the juice, and you can add that, and you can make your own drink, depending on what your favorite fruits are. And that would be a good sugar for us. That's not like some of the others, like the sodas and the Gatorade that they sell in the market.
Once again, thank you, Vera. Thank you for health. Thank you for wellness. I just want to thank all of my co-hosts and co-producer and the producer of this show, Pastor Eddie Jones, for every Monday for this ride. You know, this ride is therapy for me. It's educational. It's life-giving, you know, from each and every one of y'all. I love each and every one of you. I thank God for each and every one of you. Thank you for the wisdom, the knowledge, and the information that you share with this show, with our listeners, and whoever else is out there that just may tune in. I did plenty of shares on lots of pages on Facebook yesterday, and we leave the rest in God's hand. You know, somebody might tune in online and just listen to a segment. Because if you don't get this station now, you can't get it later. It is archived. You can go to blogtalkradio.com, hit the search button, and go to Eddie Jones Jr. _ production and listen to this show. It's archived. So that's a wonderful thing that Pastor Eddie has done. We both may never get the chance to meet some real upper-tier gangsters. We may never even cross paths in the casino. Some gangsters are invisible. Now you see them, now you don't. Who would believe that square standing next to you is a bona fide top-level gangster? No one would possibly believe that an honest-looking John is a gangster. That sounds preposterous. Why would it sound preposterous for that square to be a gangster? I can make an attempt to put a finger on it. What I will say is this. There are numerous gangsters who have learned how not to get their hands dirty. There are too many mazes, tricks, traps, smoky mirrors, mirages, and whatever else kind of mess that you can conjure up for your masquerade of business. Sometime it may come down to installing tons of some good bull sugar honey iced tea to help cover up the bottom of the business. There are many of these gangsters who may have top-notch attorneys, henchmen, flunkies, fall guys, whatever it takes to stop the loss and to keep the profit. There will be plenty of makeup to remove before you reach the real dirt of a gangster. Just getting the real dirt of a gangster can cost you more than all of your worldly possessions. In some cases, it can cost the ultimate price. It is not worth it. You may have a better life if you just turn around and go back home, son. Gangsters, these guys are very good and the best of what they do. Gangsters are in the business of being gangsters. There are some countries, government, business, and you name it, on down to the country corner. You may find a gangster under a streetlight watching out for the flow of the dollar. There may be some gangsters who have had countries, government officials, bosses, and the like under their thumbs. It is not hard for you to believe that there are gangsters calling the shots and making things happen at these levels. There are probably millions of gangsters who actually run countries, governments, business, people, and more. Some of these same gangsters have snatched the economic fabric and financial carpet out from up under the whole world. This is what you call getting gangsters from the banking systems and throughout all the corporate industries. It is the gangsters who are doing the work behind closed doors and hidden corridors. These gangsters very and rarely are seen on the street. They do not have to hit the streets. These gangsters
they have a host of employees to send other employees on missions that they have no clue what is really going on all around. These guys are usually very well educated and trained. They have honorably passed through some of the top universities, colleges, or military academies in the world in flying colors. These guys, they know the ins and outs and the ethics on how people, places, and money operate. These guys, they have learned and understand how the world turns. The majority of your highest level gangsters were probably not bangers in their youth. In fact, there are many gangsters today who were the wimps in their youthful years. To me, it is not a mystery, but to all of us, there are many mysteries. These same wimps have turned out to become some of the smartest and brightest people during their adulthood. Hey, could the wimps and the cows be getting even with the people of the world? These guys have continued with their higher education and training and whatever else it was required to make it to the top. They have completed enough of their courses to become a president, a corporate boss, or even a general. Who know all the titles of the gangsters? In case you are looking for the triple OG, you are barking up the wrong tree. There are those who are in position, and that position has been passed down through the family. By family rights, they should claim their position. Yet he or she should be brought up in a nurtured, well-trained, regulated environment, which is when he or she may have a better opportunity to raise the proper regulator who should be in charge. And this reading goes on, and you can only find it in the book of Regulate the Manual. You can go to regulatethemanual.com and hit me personally if you have this book. I encourage you, just take another look at it, because every time I go in and I get more and more. I want to thank all of you for listening to Regulate the Manual, because this book is written and you are in here.
You are in here.
The gangster. Dr. Fauci is a gangster. President Joe Biden, he's a gangster. President Rump, he's a gangster. And the list goes on. But now it's time for the man to slam the trunk off this show. He is in back of the limousine holding the trunk open with the commentary, Professor Ream, the floor.
Thank you to the prophet and the regulator, Clarence Allen, and it's always an honor coming right after Regulate the Manual, which gives us such wonderful tidbits and trinkets of ideas and thoughts. But everyone, you should read the whole book, because it is a treasure that is best served while you're in the comfort of your home. So with that, I want to first thank Pastor Jones for putting together and continuing to have the Eddie Justice Jones program, which is our Monday morning thank you to get the week started. I also want to thank to our prophet Clarence Allen for Regulating the Manual, and also a wonderful co-host and co-producer. Thank you to Sister Vera for keeping us healthy and reminding us of all the things that we need to do when we get so deeply involved in political and religious discussions, that we have to come back to our own health. To Kalana, once again, knock it out of the ballpark with words of wisdom, which allows us just to think and contemplate the journey that we're in. To Melanie Opry, I have a shout-out to Cousin V, a shout-out to, and may they have a wonderful, blessed day and the rest of the week. To Dr. Aretha, once again, following the series that you have dealing with eating disorders, thank you so much. Once again, all three were the ones that I researched and had to help others with in understanding what these issues were. Finally, to Linda Goldie, I got my hug today. I'm so happy that everything is okay. And I'll include both your and wonderful words that you and Talana have mentioned in the final part of the commentary. To our special guest, to Israel and Hawkins, again, as has been mentioned, everyone, we need to get behind this good brother and see that justice is served so that we can make sure that Cori Bush and Hakeem Jeffers understands the issues. And finally to Annette Davis Jackson for U.S. Senate candidate, a wonderful example of the idea of actions that have been taken, and also not just in Georgia, but also in California, the best of both worlds. So here we are on this Monday, and we've have progressed as we normally do. The circumstances that we have with the Capitol and all, and even what Clarence mentioned, are the gangsters are still prevalent. We have indictments that are flowing. We have folks who, one person has been charged with felony for the insurrection. And then we also have other issues coming on with the insurrections and or takeovers that occurred in Haiti, along with all the other problems that we, dealing with the pandemic or dealing with hurricanes or dealing with issues around the world. This, if you take it from the good Lord's point of view, is common because it's nothing new under the sun. Ecclesiastes 1, verse 9, is just how the world works. But the one thing that we have to remember is that with all these things happening, we have to always come back to ourselves and our base and what we're doing in light of all these things, because there's a lot of things to get into. Clarence mentioned the gangster getting into gangster life, but there's also other things that can be done outside of that if you allow it to not take you over. So this is what we're looking at. We talked about masking. And, of course, that's an issue, but let's think about it. When we had SARS, when we had Ebola, the human journey is always going to be fraught with conflicts and problems, which test our resolve and test our faith in the good Lord. And it's not going to stop, because think about it. 3, 4, 5 years from now, it's going to be something else overall. And the idea of what this is being used for, whether it's thinning out the herd or Malthus and trying to get to a point where we have little resources and we have to minimize the population, that's been a global thing for the longest time. So the folks in control have already identified things that are going to do to keep us always in perpetual conflict. And that's why with the African-American experience dealing with, we've always been the canary in the coal mine talking about vaccines and the Tuskegee experiment, or the changing of perceptions by having a successful Black Wall Street, which went against the current theories and or conjectures that Black folks were only here to serve, all the way up to Israel Owens Hawkins as the second Black Wall Street, of which, if you can imagine, had the oil company been allowed to prosper, just how devastating it would have been to the theories and thoughts that African Americans couldn't run a successful business, which has been disproven over and over and over again. So with this in mind, what should we do personally? Well, it comes back to the word of the week, and it deals with passion. We have to go back to our own passions that we have found, which has been very beneficial, that we get behind, that really gives us that wonderful kick in the morning, that gets us, as Sister Vera mentioned, moving. And as we're moving, walking, talking, running, hula-hooping, dancing or so, that's where the joy comes in. And the good Lord wants us to have that passion that leads to the joy, that leads to an idea of how He has placed us in a position to do what we need to do as best we can. We have an example with Israel Owens Hawkins, but we also have the example with the word plan that Annette Davis Jackson has mentioned. So every time that we pose the question, she talked about putting together a blueprint that would allow us to address the issues and move us forward collectively as a group, as humans, as God intended us to. But then we also have to take time to put in prayer, what is the plan that God has for each of us, and how does this plan relate to where He would like us to be moving forward? And I would have to submit that it means that, as Solana mentioned, that we live with our truths, we be courageous, we seek friends, and we also continue to do it in love. And if we do that, then at least by talking, sharing, being patient, loving, and also forgiving, we will be where we need to be to move forward and take actions against the issues that are going to be happening, regardless of whether we're here or not, for as long as human beings will be on this earth. And with that, that's my commentary, and I yield back to you both, to Pastor Jones and to the regulator.
Professor Rain,
Professor Rain and Clarence, are you there? Professor Rain and
yes.
Clarence. I was wondering if we could all just say happy birthday to Eddie. His birthday is on the 23rd. It's coming up, and that would be great. So happy birthday, Eddie.
Oh, happy birthday. Happy birthday,
Happy birthday to you.
Happy birthday to you.
Happy birthday
to you.
Happy
birthday.
Enjoy yourself. It's later than you think. Enjoy yourself while you're still in the pink. The years go by more quickly than you think. Enjoy yourself.
Amen.
Enjoy yourself. It's later than
you
think.
So I
want to
say thank you. Thank you.
Happy birthday, Daddy. I love you.
Thank you guys very, very much. It means the world to me. It's be my 62nd birthday, and I'm just really grateful for it. I'm looking forward to my birthday, and I love it. I'm the show. I love everybody listening to the show. You guys are amazing and remarkable. I hope everybody has a wonderful week. Don't let nothing steal your joy. Remember that the best is yet to come. And I want to thank our special guest, Mr. Hawkins, Israel Owens Hawkins, and I want to thank Annette Jackson. And I'm going to be talking to them real soon, and we're going to go from there. Without further ado, close it out, Brother Clarence M. Allen. Everybody have a wonderful, fantastic, and phenomenal week. I love you. God bless you. Peace.
Thank you, class, Professor Ring, Dr. Rita, Solana, Linda, Professor Samantha.
I know we better fly.
Everyone.
Thank you, Tom.
Thank you.
Thank you. Clarence.
I love you all.
Linda.
So good to be back.
And to everybody, listening, I love you all. Happy week.
Yep. Have a happy week.
Amen.
Amen. Bye-bye.
The love is right here, right now.
follow with the correction. Wrong information always shown by the media. Negative images is the main criteria. Infecting the young mind is faster than that.
Okay, so I'm going to go. I'm going to go some more water.
Whatever happens
to
the
values
of
amen. The love is right here. That's where the love is.
You've been in tuning to the Eddie Justice Jones Blog Talk Radio Show. What's going on? Where's the love? See y'all next week. I love you all. Pastor Eddie, happy birthday, baby.
All right. Amen.
Amen.
Yay.
All right, y'all take care now.
Yes.
Love you, Dad.
We love you, Pastor Eddie.
Love you all.
And
how many candles are you lighting? How many candles you got, Pastor Eddie?
Happy birthday.
Love you, Dad. Love you, Anna. Love you, Vera. Love you, Dr. Rita. Love you, Clarence and Alan. Love you, Professor Reigns. Love you, Linda. I love everybody. I love you all. Love you, Annette Jackson. And I love, definitely love Brother Israel and all of our people. I love you guys, man. Y'all have the best day ever. I'm
and we
out
love
here.
You too, Annette. Amen. Amen. You don't have to say thank you.
Everybody.
Right, bye-bye.
And Prophetess Monica.
Shout. And Pastor Andrews. I love you too, Pastor Andrews. All right. Bye-bye.
Amen. Pastor Andrews.